Welcome to Common Salvation, the sermons and other thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached September 3rd, 2023 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas. The text was Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9 and continuing through verse 21. Let's listen in now. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a time when many pastors were told that the best sermons had 3 points. I suppose this was also about the time when those same pastors were told to put their sermon outlines in the bulletin so people could follow along. It all came together nicely. A, B, C, and you were done. But no one must have told that to the Apostle Paul. In the dozen or so verses we just heard today from Romans, Paul would have almost run out of alphabet letters in the bulletin outline with all of the quick points he wanted to make. Paul, in rapid succession, lists many things that are to characterize the life of one saved by grace through Jesus, who have been renewed by the Holy Spirit. But for the sake of time, and with a nod to that 3-point preaching lauded by some, let us tackle just 3 of those things that Paul addressed in our text. For these 3, I think, will prove to be plenty to consider. Listen to the 3 now. Abhor what is evil. Cleave to what is good. Overcome evil by good. 3 statements, 4 or 5 words each, and yet much to consider. A, B, and C, and then we will be done. First, A, abhor what is evil. And what does that mean, to abhor something? Well, it means to be horrified by the thought of it. While your mom may have told you never to use the word hate, this word here in the scriptures is actually a supercharged version of the word for hate. Yes, evil is to affect our emotions so greatly that it actually moves us into action to seek to thwart evil. Perhaps this is the admonition in our text that is the most countercultural of the 3 we will consider. We live in an age that teaches us not to identify or expose anything as evil, and certainly not to get so worked up about it that we would actually take any action to thwart such evil. It would ask us, why get upset that Disney just greenlighted a film where a teenage girl becomes pregnant after a one-time rendezvous with, yes, the devil himself? Why care that an increasing majority of our people in our country dismiss in their minds and with their bodies the basic connections between gender, marriage, sexuality, and children? Why get worked up just because there are poor people who are oppressed and taken advantage by those who have more wealth? Stay calm, the world says. The legalized practice of killing children in the womb, that's just a matter of personal freedom and political debate. Unyielding ambition and greed, which causes one to follow one's desires wherever they lead and over whoever is in their way. Well, that's just at the heart of the American experience and dream, we're told. Casting off every God-ordained authority in the home and the church and the state. Well, that's not evil, we are told. No, that is central to freedom and happiness in the modern world. And on the other hand, when we see authority being abused, we are told that's just necessary due to the circumstances of the time. Don't worry about it, the world says. Sure, both parties in our country spread lies freely in the pursuit of getting their candidate elected, but who cares? Drunkenness, well, that's just having a good time. Indecent talk is just a colorful way of speaking. Don't call any of this evil and don't get upset about it. Oh, I suppose each of us will pick out a few evils that we like to decry, mostly forms of evil that we are not tempted by very much ourselves. We will point out the faults of others and make ourselves feel better. But even with those things, we're not usually so horrified that we would actually seek to do something to rescue people from the evils they are entangled with. After all, there's real danger, isn't there, in identifying and naming evil anyways? Because if we are honest in this endeavor, what we will end up is abhorring ourselves for the evil we do. And that we want the least of all. If we truly abhor evil as we ought, we would need to lead a life of repentance before God and a life of service to our neighbors, and that would take up much time and energy. We might lose what we think of as our life now if we did that. Oh yes, we may know evil and lament it, but we don't often abhor it. But if you feel that you have done quite fine in that regard, remember there are 2 more things to consider, on to point B, as it were. We are also to cling to good, to cleave to it. Yes, this is the same word used in the book of Genesis of man and woman coming together in marriage. Yes, we're not just to know that good exists, but we're to be intimately connected with good. That means we need to hear it. That means we need to think about it. That means we need to speak about it. We need to pray about it. We need to be around others who will help us to discern what is good from what is evil. We need to invest our time and energy and money into promoting good. We need to gather each week where the one who is good promises to be. I assume more or less that you do want to be on the side of good, but let me ask you, are you willing to marry yourself to it? Are you willing to entangle your days and your finances and your thoughts with it? That would require sacrifice. It would require change. It would mean putting away things from you that you have loved for a long time. This word indeed also reveals our sin, but we're not even done yet. On to point C. Overcome evil with good. If you feel like you are walking tall after considering the first two exhortations, perhaps this one might trip you up. For even when we are horrified by a particular evil and feel closely tied to a related good, we often still err with how we ought to address such evil ultimately. We often want to simply overcome the evil we abhor with evil we do. If they lie about us, we will lie about them. If they threaten our lives, we will threaten theirs. If they try to hurt us financially, we will do the same to them in greater degree. Many times we want to overcome evil by just destroying it. And to be clear, sometimes God does destroy evil with great force. He will certainly do so on the last day, but that is God's work to do when and where He chooses and not our work. We are told that we are to overcome evil with good. But what does that even mean? Well, thankfully, God gives us some specifics through the Apostle Paul. We are told not to take vengeance ourselves, but to leave that to God. We are told that we are to feed and give drink to the evil. We are not to give people a ready excuse to dismiss our words by terrible deeds, but we are to make those words worthy of consideration by bathing them in good and loving thoughts and actions. Yes, even to those who do evil to us, we are to be good to them. Such actions, you see, both serves that actual evildoer immediately, but it also reveals to them more clearly how evil their evil is. For we know that exchanges of evil only serve to justify the actions of both evildoers. Exchanging good for evil makes the evil of the one doing it more manifestly evil. Ask any spouse how bad you feel when your spouse stops fighting first and starts to act in love towards you, and you're still wanting to fight. Jesus also spoke of doing these three things that the Apostle Paul commends to us, though he used slightly different words. For instance, he said to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow him. Yes, abhor evil so much that you leave it behind. Love good so much that you follow closely behind the one who is truly good. And overcome evil by good by sacrificing yourself and your desires for the benefit of others. And this was not just something that Jesus thought up that we might do, but rather it is what he did and who he is. You see, God himself abhors evil. Yes, he abhors it even when you are the one doing it. He abhors that you take evil lightly and don't always cling so tightly to good as you should. He abhors it when you are tricked into calling evil good. But thankfully, he is also good. He does not have to cleave to good like us, for he is good by nature. Indeed, we might say that good cleaves to him, and that goodness he is constantly entangled with in every way he gives to us, as he gives us every gift we need for body, soul, and life. And yes, he also overcame evil with good, and still does. He gave up his only son unto death in order to conquer your evil and all evil. He raised him up bodily after 3 days to make sure that every evil would lay defeated in order that the life he gives to you might be eternal. He overcame the evil one with the good one, his son. Yes, three things to do, A, B, and C, so to speak. But three things, if we are honest, we know that we do not do as we ought. So thanks be to God that he has not just overcome all evil with his good, but our evil with his good. Yes, that good work he did of sending his son to live and to die and to rise for us. So therefore now let us lose our lives in following him, being horrified by evil and entangled with good, and meeting every evil with God's good. For indeed the Lord is coming with his angels and will reward each one according to what they have done. Yes, let us lose our life. For in losing our life, we will find his. Amen.